I'm Jesse Robertson from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place for communities to connect through conversation in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonic.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Pard.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student.
My science buddy.
My teacher.
My homie.
I'm his daughter.
I'm Luke Hopkins. I'm 70 years old, and my relationship here is a committee member on the state climate action leadership team.
My name is Sam Schimmel. I'm 18 years old. My relationship with Luke is that we are fellow leadership action committee members for the state of Alaska's Climate Change Advisory Council.
I've been involved with climate change issues here in the interior of Alaska for a while, both as an elected official when Governor Palin was here. And since then, I've been involved with it on and off. But right now, this is a very, very important time for our state.
When I kind of realized that I should be making change, not just waiting for somebody else to do it for me, is when my Upa passed away. She was 96. She and her daughter, one of my great aunts, were the only two left in our village that knew how to split a walrus hide to make a skin boat. When I heard that, I thought, Why aren't we making sure that my generation has that same opportunity to be able to learn our traditions? Why should we let intergenerational trauma and boarding schools and other things stand in the way of our ability to be culturally engaged and culturally relevant, even in today's world? And so that's kind of when I started working on cultural revitalization and cultural engagement.
It's funny. It was appointed to our planning commission, where you have to, every 2 weeks, you have to vote on what's happening in neighborhoods that you might live in your community. Climate change was becoming an issue, and we were seeing roads that were, permafrost is thawing, it's warming up. And then it kind of fell off. Governor Palin left. In many areas, climate change became a back burner issue. Right or wrong, that's kind of what happened in many places, and I think this was one. We slowly went into recycling, very slowly, but now there's a community swell again that this is what we want to be doing.
When a community speaks, you can't help but listen.
Right.
Which I think we need more of here.
Yeah.
We need to expand that to all of our far-reaching communities of our great state.
And we do have them far-reaching. They're difficult to reach, that's for sure, but mm-hmm. That shouldn't be
a barrier.
The stoppage point.
I've worked a lot with Senator Murkowski on the Walter Sobeleff and Alice Spotted Bear Commission on Native Children, which kind of seeks to address and combat disparities faced by Native youth, both in and outside of Indian country. When I first met with her about that commission, I had read through the bill that her and Senator Heitkamp had put forth. There wasn't really a spot for Native youth to be able to be heard for a council that it was meant to address and seek out disparities faced by Native youth. And so that's why I really think this committee is very important, because what it does is it puts the reins of climate change in the hands of the community. It makes it so that we as Alaskans are able to say, hey, this is what we as Alaskans need, because our one-size-fits-all solution does not work for our state.
And people are living with the subsidence that's happening as the ground's warming in many rural villages where they thought they had the engineering method to connect up the water and sewer, and doesn't work anymore.
No.
Because they only anticipated certain things moving, and now
five foot of shift.
Yeah, right.
Things don't line
up. So now they have to come up with another engineering fix, and maybe that'll work. So I live on permafrost, and having to try to live on that, thinking that, oh, this is really nice. It's in a valley, and I have a creek that flows across the property. And those different attributes of the environment have changed radically in the years that I've lived on that property.
It's just so interesting to see that our state's so big, and we're affected in so many different ways. Down in Southeast, they're very worried about ocean acidification. I mean, we all are worried about that, but they're very much touched by that, especially around in the Bristol Bay area. Whereas up where I'm from, we're very worried about sea ice. Whereas in here, on the interior, you're very, very worried about permafrost melt. We have to figure out how to make sure that we address the issues that are presented by all of Alaska. Once you take away land, I mean, geography is everything. I mean, it's history, it's oral tradition, it's everything. It's that rock over there means this, that means this, that means this. As I've seen in every single community that I've been to, when communities are grounded in their culture, they have lower rates of incarceration, lower rates of alcoholism, lower rates of drug abuse, lower rates of sexual trauma. What we see climate change doing is we see the culture being pulled out of these communities.
And cultural history of people's moving in the United States is not the most positive.
Yeah.
It's devastating. We don't want it to be that way when our Alaskan communities have to relocate. 10 years from now or 15 years from now, you could be doing the same thing again. Like, we're still visiting this, you know, and why hasn't anything happened?
Yeah, exactly. I think two summers ago, I worked with the Smithsonian's Arctic Studies Department with Igor Kripnik over there, identifying photographs from a botanist's expedition around our island, St. Lawrence Island, from the 1960s, and matching text from a manuscript that was written up by that botanist, and then matching that up with stories from my elders and uncles and aunts. Along with that, Igor, who's worked with our family a lot, he sent me back with a couple images or something from whaling in the 1950s. And I remember bringing those back, and we were playing that on the TV, and my uncles, I think I had four or five of my great uncles around me, and they were talking, and they were saying, well, that's odd, we don't see that kind of ice anymore. We haven't seen that kind of ice in 20 or 30 years. It was these big ice mountains.
And, ice ridges and
yeah,
stuff.
Ice yeah, ice ridges yeah. and stuff. And they said, we don't ever see that anymore. They only ever see that up towards Barrow. And so that's kind of our biggest enemy right now, is that it's time. It's so much more powerful to see the real side of things rather than, well, the sea rose by 2.5 inches, the temperature rose by 3.5 right. degrees centigrade. Right. And
it's not just a particular political position.
It's not a political issue. Like
I
talked with the congressman about this at great length. I mean, it doesn't matter what we call it. It doesn't need to be global warming. We don't care what it's caused by. We don't care why it happens, who's causing it. People not having food is not a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, a libertarian issue. People not having food is a human issue. First and foremost, we should be addressing our people and then addressing our scientific needs. And nothing gets anything done quicker, yeah, than a story.
I think that's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's been great talking with you, though, that's for sure.
Well,
and getting to know you, that's the important piece.
Alaska Voices builds bridges by creating a space where community members, friends, policymakers, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge. This project was developed in partnership with StoryCorps and was funded by the Alaska Climate Adaptation Science Center. Additional funding was provided by the University of Alaska Fairbanks Chancellor through a generous gift from the Bentley Family Trust. If you are interested in more conversations or information, please visit our website at alaskavoices.org.